Hello, Rui. Tell us what today is. This is our weekly podcast with you.
It is. So welcome to Historically St. Pete. So happy to record this a little differently this time, but it's okay.
Yes, well, we need to pivot and embrace change. And that's kind of what the topic is today. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to talk about today.
So today we're going to be talking about the historic Coliseum here on 4th Avenue in St. Petersburg. I mean, a lot of people have probably driven by it their lives, very, maybe have not even stopped in and checked it out, but it's a historic jewel that is turning 100 years old this year.
Wow, a centurion in our neighborhood. Tell us a little bit about the evolution, of the Coliseum and what people need to know about this historic structure.
Absolutely. Well, in the 1920s, obviously St. Petersburg exploded in growth, and actually really started right after World War One, around 1918. We were truly becoming this seasonal tourist town where people were coming down, and not just for a week or two vacation. I mean, they were coming down for the whole winter. So by the early 1920s, the population had been exploding, growth had been exploding, the city was expanding into neighborhoods. But still, the majority of the folks that came down, for that time period were downtown. And of course, they were always looking for stuff to do. A lot of the activities were taking place in the newly renamed Williams Park. There was a lot of different little sports activities out there, from shuffleboard to rogue to you name it. The checkers and chess clubs are out there. And it reached a point where the Williams family, as well as a lot of other senior our city leaders, were a little discouraged because the park was losing its parkisms. You know what I mean? They wanted to keep it a natural park and not such a venue for those type of activities. So the city was looking for other venues for these places or these things to happen. And the Mirror Lake area became a natural. And before you know it, the chess club opens, and then the lawn bowling club opens, and then the shuffleboard club opens. So there's all this activity that's happening out there around 1923, 1924 in the Mirror Lake area. And then a promoter, I mean, looks at St. Petersburg. When you think about it, in 1924, this was like one of the hottest real estate markets in the nation during that time, and everybody was coming here. But there really weren't a lot of places to go dance or enjoy music. The Million Dollar Pier hadn't been built yet, so we lacked those type of venues. And when a promoter by the name of Charles Cullen decides to build the Coliseum, so he teams up with some local investors, and they design this Mediterranean Revival style building with some Moorish architectural features. And before you know it, on November 20th, 1924, the Coliseum opens. Its original nickname was the Palace of Pleasure, and it quickly became known as like the finest dance hall in the South.
And it still has a New Year's Eve party there every year that people get crazy at. So it's
It does.
interesting. All right, so what happened next?
Well, and it's not by coincidence that the day that the Coliseum opens, George Gandy cuts the ribbon and opens Gandy Bridge as well, which now opens St. Petersburg to, everybody and their brother had Model Ts, right, back then. So it opened St. Petersburg to all this vehicle traffic. So even more people were flooding into the city. So with all these people coming into the city, this became an incredibly popular place. And if you look at the Coliseum back in the day, and you look at modern times, the Coliseum was truly like the family arena of the 1920s. I mean, anybody who was anyone in the music business, when they came here in the wintertime, obviously, to perform, they played at the Coliseum. I mean, this was, big band music, right? So we're talking about, guys, legendary big bands like, led by Benny Goodman and Glenn Miller and Harry James and Guy Lombardo. I mean, they all played there. I mean, it was this beautiful structure with these amazing lights, and it quickly became the place to go if you were a musician in the 1920s and 30s.
And it's still a swing. I mean, it's still a swinging place. So then, but how did it get built? Was it the structure there already? Was there an architect? I know that there's some wonderful areas now when you go that you can actually have like private spaces up above looking
Correct.
Down on the dance floor.
And it was privately built. I mean, like I said, it was you know, Charles Cullen who came in and with the idea and hired, you know, the architects and got, you know, some investors from the city, some city business leaders who wanted in on it, and they designed this place. I mean, it's famous for, I mean, if you, you know, when you walk in and you look at it, it's got this amazing arch roof, and it's supported by these like 13 large wooden trusses. I mean, each one spans the entire width of the structure, and each one weighs like nine tons, right? So this architecture was actually designed after where the Mormon Tabernacle Choir performs in Salt Lake City. They actually looked at that to create a structure that would have that type of sound, right? So the acoustics would be amazing, and it is. And if you've ever been there for a dance or a concert, or the acoustics are just fantastic in that structure.
They really are. You know, it's so funny because today it's just so multi-purpose. I mean, the Indy Flea presents the Summer Flea there.
Right.
They have the historical books, right? They do a lot of antiquarian book fair. It actually is owned by the city now and run by the city. Is that right, Rui?
It is. And back in the day, it was kind of always this way, though. Like, for instance, so there's a gentleman by the name of Rex McDonald who came to St. Petersburg. He was a banjo player, actually, in an orchestra that played at the Coliseum. He hooks up with Cullen and actually starts running the Coliseum. And then in 1944, he purchases the Coliseum from Cullen and oversees operations for another 40 years. And Rex McDonald, I mean, had that vision. He started booking, you know, when it first opened, it was primarily music, big bands dancing, right, those type of things. But to keep the lights on, you know, 12 months a year, Rex McDonald starts renting the building out for anything he can find, banquets, wrestling, boxing matches. There was a professional tennis exhibition played there, numerous, you know, what we now would think as trade shows, right? And so that whole business plan continued, and actually what hurt him about 20 so years later was when the city opened the Bayfront Center Arena in 1965. That drew a lot of the bigger, you know, flat floor events that you would see, right? These type trade show things that you would see typically at the Coliseum. Prior to that, they all went to the Bayfront Center, the shiny new, much bigger, right, building.
Right, which is now sort of the Mahaffey, right? That's where
correct.
The Mahaffey is, right.
Well, it's where the Dolly is, yeah.
Right.
Mahaffey was built at the same time. It was called the Bayfront Center Theater back then. Mm-hmm. So it was demolished to make room for the new Dolly Museum. But, you know, even with all those events, I mean, the music continued and later on, actually in 1942 and 1944, you know, we were in the middle of World War II, right? So the activities were fewer as far as the social activities, with the exception of the events that were held there. Because, you know, St. Pete became this huge military training facility. I mean, we had 100,000 soldiers come through our city. So they hosted a number of events there, like they hosted war bond drives there. But they also hosted a number of dances for the soldiers while they were here. And one of the cool stories from that period is, I mean, we've all heard the stories. We've seen the World War II movies. When you get Marines and Navy guys and Army guys in the same room, it doesn't take long till a fight breaks out, right, between the service members. So the story goes in the Coliseum that, you know, these dances would be held for the soldiers, and whenever a fight broke out, the orchestra would automatically start playing the Star Spangled Banner so the soldiers would stop fighting and stand at attention. So you would hear that, like, numerous times through the night, right? But after World War II, the music continued. Changes from big band to a lot of blues and jazz. And that's when we had, when you hear some of these names like Louis Armstrong and Count Basie, Cab Calloway, gosh, who else, Duke Ellington, Dizzy Gillespie, B.B. King, even James Brown, all these artists came through and played at the Coliseum. To think of that now is just mind blowing, right? That these legendary artists performed there. On the Coliseum stage.
So wasn't it also the era of Jim Crow and black residents were prohibited from attending the Coliseum concerts? They were forced to wait for the artists. to make it to the Manhattan Casino. So there was a little bit of a, you know, that's a little bit of a shade on the history of the Coliseum.
Right. And it's not just the Coliseum, it's the city. I mean, it's hard for us to believe now, and at any time, actually, because, I mean, let's face it, there were like three people originally from St. Pete, right? Everybody else came from up north, primarily. So it's hard to sit there and imagine that, you know, St. Petersburg at one time was this horribly segregated city, you know, with, you know, intense Jim Crow laws. But it was. And part of those laws were where you know, the black population in St. Petersburg was prohibited to go, and that was the Coliseum as one of the locations, which again is just ridiculous, because all those artists I just mentioned, right, are African American. So the African American population of St. Pete couldn't go to the Coliseum and see these artists perform. They had to wait till after the show, when the basically these musical artists would pack up their cars or their trucks or their vans, and they'd make their way down to 22nd Street South, and they would perform for the African-American population at the Manhattan Casino. And, you know, that's a whole other story. We'll get into it a later date. But, you know, the Manhattan Casino becomes, you know, this famous music venue as part of the Chitlin' Circuit, you know, that starts in New York and makes its way all the way down to St. Petersburg.
Oh, absolutely. But didn't the building almost, there was some impending demolition after Rex passed away and Thelma ran the Coliseum. But then she said it was going to close due to the increased cost of liability insurance. What happened then?
Well, downtown St. Petersburg changed in the 1960s and especially in the 1970s. And the Coliseum was still trying to keep afloat by, you know, hosting events like the Cecil Estates, you know, events that they had, like where they crowned the Sun Goddess and Mr. Sun and all those things. But the numbers of weekly visitors, you know, started to drop. And actually in 1983, William McDonald, Rex's son, said the Coliseum was for sale for $1.2 million. Rex passed away the following year in 1984, and his wife Thelma actually kept the place running for a few more years, until she announced it was going to close due to, you know, the increase of liability insurance. They just couldn't do it. And I mean, one of the things that she, you know, said when the Coliseum was finally purchased by the city of St. Petersburg is that, you know, the McDonald family was incredibly proud because the Coliseum under their watch never ran in the red. So every year, you know, it always turned a profit, even though towards the end a very minuscule one, but it was still a profit. So the city actually placed in 1989 placed the question to spend the money to purchase the Coliseum on the ballot as a citywide referendum, and it passed. 65% of the voters, you know, voted yes to save the Coliseum. So the city purchased it for about $800,000, and then, you know, dumped a lot more money into it to renovate it. It wasn't in, you know, terrific shape when they took it over, but my gosh, I mean, if you go in there now, it is such a just a fantastic, beautiful venue that still hosts things, like you said, like, you know, Comic-Con. This past weekend, there was a bodybuilding event there. My wife and I used to own an antique show that was hosted at the Coliseum. And I mean, there's all kinds of things. I remember there was like this big tattoo expo. So times have changed. You know, it's not, you know, it's not Count Basie and those guys performing there anymore, but the Coliseum is still hugely used in this city for those type of events.
Well, it's sort of famous as well, isn't it, Rui? Because Ron Howard's 1985 film Cocoon introduced the historic venue to moviegoers everywhere.
It was so, you know, of course we had to go see that movie in the theater, right? Because, you know, we knew it was being filmed. And I actually watched them filming part of the stuff on Central Avenue back when I worked at the Times a million years ago. And, you know, so when it came out in the theaters, I think we had ran to Tyron Square Mall to go watch it there. And, you know, we all went crazy when they showed the scene, the huge dance scene when they're actually in the Coliseum. And there's a shot, I think, when they're walking into the men's room where you see the sign that says, you know, you're entering the finest dance hall in the South, you know, or something like that. So, yeah, that Ron Howard's Cocoon introduced that building to the world in that movie.
Well, you know, Rui, it's been fascinating talking to you today as part of your Historically St. Pete about the 100-year-old Coliseum, safe in the city's hands today. Trade shows, high school proms, civic events, and my favorite thing, swinging in the new year. Rui, wrap it up for us.
Well, yeah, listen, we love, for 102 years, we've been sharing the history of St. Petersburg here at the museum. So now we're honored to be able to share it on Radio St. Pete. And so we encourage you to come visit. You can stop by the Museum of History. We're located on the pier. We're open 7 days a week. You can go to historystpete.org, check out our events, our tours. We do a number of historic tours through the city. We do a boat tour, trolley tours, walking tours, Segway tours. So check us out and learn more about St. Pete's history.
Barry Ferris, Historically St. Pete Executive Director of the St. Pete Museum of History, thank you so much for your call today. Let's celebrate the 100-year-old Coliseum and 4th of July together.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.